One of these days, it won't be so abrupt.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for watching Rewatchers Council. Welcome back. Welcome back to Adelia, back from Cleveland. Hope everything's going fine there. Heard some bad stuff. Of course, rejoined again by our good friend and council member, Brendan Marr. Brendan, how are you, sir?
Good, good. This is quite an episode.
Yeah, yes, of course. Following Halloween, especially, it kind of takes the legs out of a nice little, almost a jolly kind of vampire episode. But we'll see, we'll see what this one's about. Adelia, quick thoughts on the episode. Were you did you enjoy it? Were you a fan?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
How'd you like Halloween?
Halloween was really fun.
Yeah. This one, not I don't wouldn't classify
it. It's not as fun as Halloween.
No,
yeah.
No.
All right, let's get into it. All right, original air date, November 3rd, 1997. This episode written and directed by the showrunner again. I think this is the first one he's done both since probably Prophecy Girl. I don't think he's done one yet this year.
Oh my heavens, I realized I was 12 years old when this episode came out.
Oh boy. Yeah, I was 12 years old
and now
too.
I'm an old man.
Yeah, you were 12.
You say that as the youngest person here.
All right. Yeah, oh boy. Number one movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Again. Supposedly had broken the record for openings for a slasher film from the previous holder was Freddy versus Jason. So it wasn't for very long, but I think it only said it was like $13 million. So there you can just see how much the times have changed, I guess. Now, let's get to the songs. You already know what the American one is. Candle in the Wind. The UK one. Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Oh no.
Sure.
Don't remind me.
Well, I'm about to remind you of something worse. My buddy and I were thinking of what our least favorite songs are of maybe all time. I mentioned this song was in the top five, and it is now number one in Canada this week, Fly by Sugar Ray.
That's not a good song at all.
Anything that says Sugar Ray, probably not great.
Yeah.
This one, not good at all, guys. Whoever still likes this as a nostalgia thing, shame on you. Shame on you forever. All right.
It says the guy who's reviewing a show that's 25 years old.
Yes, but yeah, it's not on the show. It's not in the show. If it's in the show, then I would say, hey, enough of this. All right. DVD synopsis time, guys. Buffy is lured into a trap by a bunch of vampire wannabes who hope Spike will turn them into vampires in exchange for giving them the Slayer, or giving him the Slayer. It's sort of, I don't know if, you know, you never really think that these other guys are that much into the plan, except for maybe at the very, very end, but we'll talk about that as well. Okay.
Yeah.
So this episode starts out not in a spooky graveyard, guys, like we're accustomed to, but a spooky, playground. I guess everything in Sunnydale at Night is spooky. But you know, playground, it was the creaking, like, what is that? The creaking,
oh man, yeah,
roundabout, the
merry-go-round thing,
merry-go-round. That, you know, it's about, that makes about 45% more creepy, if you ask me. And also, you'd think the parents in Sunnydale would be a little more attentive to their children, maybe maybe they'd be a little more strict to about picking them up on time. Not letting them hang around creepy playgrounds at night, but this person's mom really did drop the ball there, and you see him complaining about how she's always late, like she always does this. Oh boy. Anyways, this poor kid, he's about to become veal for Drusilla. As Drusilla shows up, yes, she's especially menacing this time towards the kids. I did like when she's saying stuff like, "What will your mommy say when they find your body?" This kid isn't freaking out or anything. Like a pretty tough kid mentally. I would have out of there. Guys, but lo and behold, here's Angel.
Yay.
Yep. But it turns out he knows Drusilla as well. This born turtle leave before things go bad. Everyone's giving these vampires so many chances. They'll turn themselves around at some point. Buffy keeps letting Spike walk away. And now Angel's like, Drew, you gotta take it easy, your kid out of here. Then she tells him that his heart thinks of the Slayer. So, you know, you can't wash that out either. So, of course, but the Buffy trope happens where she's just so happens to come on the scene, notices Angel talking with Drew. And
weeks in a row that she's done this.
Yeah, this is a thing. This is now a thing. She says nothing, turns to leave. It's an easy conversation to have with somebody. Say, hey, who's this? I guess Angel didn't want a dusty old friend or something like that, but I don't know. Anyways, then Drew tells Angel that this is just going to be the beginning. So, it's a little ominous there. Back at the school, Jenny and Giles are planning a date. Buffy shows up, tells Giles that nothing vampire-y happened. By the way, I tried to make a list of all the lies told in this episode.
Yep.
A smarter guy would have wrote down which they were. I didn't. I just marked it down and just went on to the next one. So I've counted 8 lies altogether. This being one, the nothing vampire. You could probably give him a pass on this one. Maybe it is nothing vampire. Maybe she doesn't know who Drew is. Right? Okay, let's give her a pass. So Giles gives her the night off, which is a pretty nice one. He did say he was gonna start taking it a little bit more easy on her, so showing that now. But Buffy decides, oh, I don't want to spend it with Angel because she does this all the time. And then they go to a class, and I'm guessing this is history because, of course, Buffy isn't paying attention. Cordy is talking about how she empathizes with Marie Antoinette. Adelia. She would let them eat cake and everything. It's a
bad person to empathize with.
I think she, well, I could see how Cordy could see life through Marie Antoinette's perspective for sure. So Xander tries cheering Buffy up. They're passing passing notes in class, Willow and Buffy. Xander suggests a crazy dance party at the Bronze and then a calm dance party at the Bronze and blah, blah, blah. He really wants to go to the Bronze, what I'm saying. And then, out of nowhere, an old friend of Buffy's shows up from Hamry. I don't think that's a real school in LA, but everyone seems to know it's because every time she says Hamry, you have to say LA. Now, this guy's played by Jason Bear, and I didn't know too much about him. We got the ghost of Adelia. But it turns out he's actually done quite a bit of stuff. Like I only know him from this, but I guess he was in JAG and Dawson's Creek. But he had a starring role in that Roswell show. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the lead in that. And then he and Sarah Michelle Gellar would go on to star together in The Grudge. I know one of your favorite movies of yours.
No.
One of Adelia's favorite movies? You heard it here first. Anyways.
No.
So yeah, this guy's name is Ford. And he tells Buffy that his dad was transferred to Sunnydale. And he's going to go to school there now. He said matriculating. I didn't want to say that. Who says that in high school? I'm going to be matriculating here now. Ugh. Oh my God.
Yeah, no one says that ever.
No. All of a sudden, Buffy's more interested in going to the Bronze. Invites him.
My nephews would probably say that, and they're only 11.
Oh, Yeah, they got a while to go to for high school. But then
they're little nerds. Is what they are.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And so, I'm happy that they're nerds.
Oh yeah. Keep them out of trouble. Ford, they ask him, or she asks if he wants to go to the Bronze. Ford asks if he's going to be imposing. Xander says, only in the literal sense. Yeah, he's jealous of everybody. Xander, poor guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're off to the local watering hole once again. Ford's told the Scoobies that Buffy was in the ninth grade beauty pageant. Ninth grade beauty pageant. And then there's something about a swimsuit competition. Mm. A swimsuit competition in a ninth grade beauty
ninth
pageant.
Ninth graders.
Yep. That's what 25 years ago was like, folks.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. So anyways, they see Buffy at the bar with Angel. Ford mentions he looks older than her, which is the running joke, I guess. Angel lies to Buffy about his whereabouts the night before. There's another line. Buffy then goes for a walk with Ford. Angel asks if Ford just moved there and disappears before Willow can ask him to play pool. I felt sorry for Willow here. She really wanted someone else to play pool besides Xander.
He pulled a Batman on them.
He did.
Disappeared one moment. Yeah.
I like to call it an Irish goodbye. When at a party, you just leave without saying anything. You're just out of there. So, Buffy and Ford are walking when she hears a noise and has Ford run back to the Bronze to go find her purse that she says she left there. She just runs around the corner. But Ford doesn't go very far, guys. In fact, he's only gone a few steps. And he starts walking back towards where Buffy is. A scared young lady runs past him. And then he watches as Buffy fights and then dusts a vampire. Now, she lies and tells him it was a cat. And then there was another cat. And there's a bunch of cats fighting. But he casually said, oh, I just thought you were slaying a vampire. The secret identity of hers is, not the best kept secret, I'll just say. They even knew in Hamry. Oh my god. Well, I guess he burned down a school, according to the TV show. People's names get around. So Buffy tells Willow she thinks it's neat that he knows and how it makes everything easier. They use the word neat a lot, which is fun. I use the word neat a lot. So we see Ford knocking on a big metal door, guys. And when you see a big metal door outside, you know it's not good. It's like, oh boy, something's up with poor Ford. Maybe he's not on the up and up. So there's also lots of locks on it. So, oof, not great. He's let in and he enters what just looks like an underground goth club. He 100% looks like a preppy jock. He looks like he does not belong in this place at all. He starts talking to a guy named Diego. Diego is played by Jared Paul. Jared Paul has had an interesting career. Not too many acting roles, some things, and he'll pop up just in a little bit parts. He was in CSI, he was in Seinfeld, been a guy named Devin in Seinfeld. He was on Family Matters, if anybody was a fan of the
I watched that show.
He also wrote and appeared in Yes Man, that Jim Carrey movie, and he wrote, directed, and produced The Grinder. Remember that Rob Lowe television show? He did so many television shows, guys. I think this is the one he did with Fred Savage. So anyways, turns out that all these goth nerds have concocted a plan. They're then joined by Chantrell, who gives Ford a glass of wine. So what do we have, Adelia? We have yet another underage
drinking.
Underage drinking in Sunnyvale.
Oh my god, so this is four, I think, now. Unbelievable. Anyways, so Chantrell's played by Julia Lee. Julia Lee has one of those faces, like, you get Mandela affected, and you think that she's been in all these things, but really not too much. She was in Charmed, and then she was in that movie, A Man Apart, that Vin Diesel movie. That's it.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
I don't remember that one either.
I think you're probably right to not remember it. It's probably not. You know what? you don't need to see everything Vin Diesel turns out, that's for sure. Anyways, but turns out these bunch have a plan to become vampires. You don't seem shocked by that.
No. One thing, not with the way that Diego or Marvin or whatever was dressed.
Dressed with that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Dressed like that guy there, except for.
And they're watching the 1973 film of Dracula.
Yes. The Jack Palance one. I was about to say, I was pretty happy that they had that one. I was thinking, you know, they could have went for a Hammer one and stuff like that. Or that one from that 79 one or whatever with George Hamilton or whatever. But this one is a good choice. So. Angel then shows up at Willow's, but the rules back Adelia that he has to be invited in, and they mentioned this a couple of times. So I don't know if they, after they filmed those couple episodes, they looked in and said, maybe we gotta tighten this up here a little bit, guys. We gotta remember, vampires have to be invited in. So
yeah, Angel in Willow's room where she's only in her nightgown for sure.
Right. Yeah, and.
For shame.
She's on the second floor. We've seen we've seen her house before. She goes up to the second floor for her bedroom. There's a door. That's a door she opens.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice, you know, have your own patio. Your own outside patio.
There must be a balcony in her house.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Pretty nice. Pretty nice. Anyways, so she's a little worried because she's not allowed boys in her bedroom, guys. Yeah, because she's only 16, and again the same age as Buffy, and this guy here 241. Anyways, Angel has her find information about Ford. Of course she's a little uncomfortable with that, and she wants to know if it's just Angel being jealous, and then he admits that he is jealous, but he says his gut is telling him something. Willow says, all right, but if there isn't anything weird, and they says, oh, hey, that's weird. It took her 1 second.
One second to find something weird on the internet? Okay.
Yeah, that's true. And this is back then, though. Like, we don't even hear So, yeah, she had pretty good setup. It turns out, young Ford never enrolled over at Sunnydale High School. And of course Angel asks Willow not to say anything. She doesn't say, she doesn't want to lie, and he says, well, just don't tell her, which is kind of not a lie. Still not great. It's still not very trustworthy, if you ask me. And you can tell the next day that she is clearly agitated. Buffy asks if she's been drinking coffee again. And then Willow just says, it really affects her. And then she runs out to the computer lab. Giles tells Buffy that he and Mrs. Callender are going out. So he gives her Jenny's beeper number. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned beeper number for Brennan.
Oh, gosh.
Beepers before. All right. What a world lived in. What a world. So. He tries to work around the word Slayer because Ford's there, but then Buffy tells him, no, it's okay. He knows I'm the Slayer. Yeah, and that he has to pull her aside and say, you're not using your secret identity as a means to pick up cute boys or anything like that. But she said, no, we already know.
Apparently a bunch of people couldn't figure out who Batman is somehow.
Somehow, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, depends on the one. I think in the original, like in the original series or whatever, nobody ever knew, which is so strange. So he leaves for his date. Then we catch up with Buffy and Ford at nightfall. They did a walking tour of Sunnydale, Adelia. And it seems we got another mention of just how dull Sunnydale is. Again, I don't think we have to go through it every week, but seems like there's an awful lot to do in Sunnydale.
There does seem like there's an awful lot to do in Sunnydale for it being such a dull and boring town.
Also, it only takes seconds to get everywhere. How did they walk around this place all day?
And also, apparently, the vampire goth kids are in a fallout shelter, apparently.
Yeah. Downtown? A downtown fallout shelter. Unbelievable. Yep. So, they then see some vampires running towards the school. And I had to go, I got to go back a couple of times when I was watching it, because it says like California Distinguishing School or something like that in the sign. And yeah. I wanted to see what the sign said. I don't know what that means, but I think it's just where the actual school is the that's on the actual school. It has nothing to do with Sunnydale, but
it's something we have in California that I don't even know what it really means.
Right. But you see, when I did that a couple of times, you see when them walking, and then you see the two vampires standing still, and then start running. It's like they were waiting for that moment and stuff like that. Like, you got to see their cue, and it's like, God, you couldn't get them just to run from off camera. Come on, you guys. Yeah,
that, they were, hit, like, they were hitting their marks, apparently.
I guess you're right. So, turns out Ford has brought his own stake when he's given the crucifix and stuff like that. Buffy is attacked by the lady vamp, but then the male tackles her over this railing there and onto the ground. Somehow the lady vamp has been knocked down because Ford gets on top and threatens her for info. Well, Buffy dusts the other guy. And then we get another lie here when Buffy gets up and Ford says that, I just dusted her. I killed her and stuff like that. And she just turned to dust in front of me. It's like, oh, and she was very, I think she was actually quasi impressed with that. So
yeah,
we get it. We find out the goth bar is named the Sunset Club. But, ugh, how
that's gross. An interesting name for a goth club.
Yeah. And yet another, yes, the drinking, the goddamn drinking stuff and whatever. They're all together. They're drinking wine. Okay. Ford is about to take pills, and the Chantrell gives him wine to chase it down, which can't be great. You're not supposed to.
No.
Not supposed to drink with pills, I thought.
But, yeah. You know,
Anyways, we see Will here quickly as well and stuff like that. Fixated on the term, sticks out like a sore thumb. And I tried to look up what the actual origin of it was and stuff like that, and I couldn't find anything. Everyone just said that if you bang your thumb or whatever, it gets bigger. That's it. There was never an origin to it. So Chantrell welcomes Willow and Xander. She starts calling vampires the lonely ones, guys. Romanticizing vampires. Says they aren't interested in harming anyone at all, and that they're exalted. They are above us. Do you believe that to be true, Adelia?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. If you did, I'd have some more questions for you, but no, that's fine. Angel calls her a fool, and that hurts her. But she takes it well. She's just saying that other viewpoints are valid and walks away. I think like a lot of people can learn from young Chantrell here and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be a huge argument. Just say, you know, mine is different. I don't have to bother with this anymore. Just leave. So Angel's a little annoyed by these people and that they don't know how vampires live or how they dress. Just as a guy dressed exactly like him brushes past.
It made me laugh very hard.
One of the best scenes. They leave, but Diego's noticed him talking about Ford. So Buffy has interrupted Giles and Jenny's date. Turns out Giles didn't mind so much as he's not a huge fan of monster trucks.
Yeah, so that's another thing we can add to the fact that that goes on in Sunnydale now is there's apparently monster truck racing.
Well, I know that I lived in a small town in Saskatchewan and they had monster trucks come there or whatever. I guess you don't need much room and stuff like that. Brennan, you big fan of monster trucks?
I've never been to a monster truck rally, so I don't know.
I went because I was 13 years old or something like that. And I said, okay, I get it. But also, yes, I think you're right. There must be some kind of racetrack because he was talking about that. He was the nitro-fueled funny cars or something like that.
Yeah, that's not monster trucks. So that's drag racing. I know that sport very well.
Yeah, anyways, they open some books, and Buffy, of course, sees a picture of Drusilla. Now, okay, how do they have this picture of Drusilla? First off, she was turned pretty early. There was, it's not like a lot of people just had photos of themselves laying around. Mm-hmm. They would have had to have had this before she was a vampire, obviously, because you cannot take pictures of a vampire as they have. You cannot get the
good point. Good point.
So, yeah, this is another thing. They have a whole book on Angel from before he was a vampire somehow. And then now they have a picture of Drusilla, which is quite odd. Anyways, he tells Buffy who she is. And that she's known to be with Spike, but that she was killed by an angry mob in Prague. It's been mentioned before. But Buffy tells him that she saw her with Angel. Jenny asks, isn't Angel supposed to be a good guy? Something we may want to remember a few episodes from now. Giles gets up to find more info on Drew, but's knocked down by the same Lady Vamp that Ford said he killed. So there's proof of Ford's lie there. We cut to Spike and Drew's. She's talking to her dead bird. Spike asks what she and Angel were talking about.
It made me think of the dead parrot skit from Monty Python.
Oh, let's see what my notes say. she's talked about how her and Angel talked about. She whimpers when Spike tells her bird is no more. It's deceased. She has a former bird, Brennan.
So it is an ex.
When she whimpers, he calls himself a bad, rude man. He's always apologizing for himself. Then Ford walks in. Everybody seems to know where Spike lives. He offers him a deal, but wants to be threatened first.
It to be exactly like the movies.
Yeah, this is all a game, I guess, so far for these guys. Yes. Yeah, don't get it. Anyways, he's offering the Slayer in return for being turned into a vampire. Well, he just doesn't get it. Anyways, Angel visits Buffy. Angel fills her in on Ford. And she thinks everyone is conspiring against her. This happens quite a lot with her. It's not a big deal. Angel tells her lies are sometimes necessary when the truth is worse. Adelia. Mm. Mm-hmm. And the truth is a little worse because, Buffy first tells him that she loves him for the first time. Which is like, again, all right. And then Angel follows that up by telling her how he's the one who first drove Drusilla insane before she was sent to a convent, and on the day of her holy vows, he finally turned her into a vampire, which is an awesome origin story for Drusilla. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Pretty dark, too.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly dark. Yeah. I think they're starting to lay a little bit of groundwork here where Angel wasn't so great, I think is what you could say, as a vampire originally. Angel, not the best guy. Anyways, so the next day at school, Ford makes plans to meet up with Buffy at 9 o'clock. She plays along. She tries to sneak past Willow and Xander because she's still angry at them. But Willow stops her and apologizes. Xander is shocked Angel was in Willow's room. And of course, Willow has to say that ours is a forbidden love, which is nice.
I thought that was funny.
That was a cute line. I like that.
So, we're off to the Sunset Club, guys. God, what a name. Anyways, Ford accuses, assures Diego and Chantrell that vamps will bless them. Diego asks Ford if his friends are coming. Ford doesn't know what he's talking about and tries to give him crap, but Diego isn't having it. Guys, I really wish we got more Diego. If this episode was more Diego centric. In a future episodes were more Diego-centric, I would have been quite happy. Ford again tells him that things are going to be fine. But Buffy shows up, says, nope, things aren't going to be fine. She spoils his, trying to spoil his little plan here. Ford, like, to his credit, seems unfazed. She calls him a lying scumbag. You know, pretty harsh, which is, but true. He says everyone lies. Doesn't seem to mind the scumbag part at all. And he tells Buffy he's going to become a vampire. Then she starts figuring out, oh, she's part of a trade. But Ford was counting on her finding out. That part, I was like, okay, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that part didn't make much sense.
Yeah, and tells her the plan's already happening. And then Diego just locks the door after that. I never thought Diego was filled in fully on this plan at all. And all of a sudden, he's the one locking everybody in.
I don't know. It seemed a little weird.
Yeah. So anyways, the door's closed. It's locked from the outside. And Ford starts quoting two different Door songs for some reason. Again, this kid's supposed to be 17 years old. I guess he said he's a year older. He says, this is the end, Buffy. And then no one here gets out alive. Like, why would 17 years old quote the Doors then? Anyways, Chantrell and Diego want her to know that this is what they want, guys. They want to be vampires for whatever reason. Buffy tells them that Spike and his friends will be picking out at the all-you-can-eat moron bar. The all-you-can-eat moron bar, yet another underage drinking establishment in Sunnydale.
Yeah.
This one, Diego says she's an unbeliever. She taints us. So good. Anyways, sunset comes, and the unpleasantness of vampires are on the move. Buffy and Forrest are talking. She already knows that the other ones aren't going to be turned. She tells them that vampires move into your body. You cease to exist, but he doesn't care. He has a terminal brain cancer, which, of course, is an awful disease. My father-in-law passed from it. One of his best friends as well. Yep. And a lot of what he says is true. Not the smelling bad part. I didn't understand how you start smelling bad and stuff like that. But yes, you do. You shrivel and stuff. It's not great. Buffy is right, though. What he's doing is still wrong. And that does have a choice. It's not a great choice, but he has a choice not to have all of his friends murdered. You know, I thought, you know, so like to me and you, and maybe to Brennan, that's a simple choice. Mm-hmm. Just don't have all your friends murdered. But yeah, he votes for he votes the other way. He's like, no, I can have them all killed. There's no problem. So
yeah,
Ford then hits her from behind with something. I don't even know what it was. Spike comes in and instructs his minions to leave the Slayer for him as usual. And then he starts biting Chantrell. Buffy gets up and knocks out Ford. Then watches for a second, which I also thought was odd. She's just kind of seeing vampires chowing down and stuff like that. But then sees Drew standing by herself at the top of the balcony. And then we get to have some superhero Buffy, which we haven't had for quite some time, where she jumps from the floor all the way up to where the balcony is.
I can't remember the last time she did that.
It's been a while. It would have been from her escaping the school, jumping over the fence and stuff like that, I would imagine. Anyways, you see a couple of times with her breaking stuff, but whatever. So she grabs Drusilla, the spike at her, starts negotiating, says, let everyone out or your girlfriend fits in an ashtray. Spike capitulates right away. He isn't having this. Humans all run out. Then Buffy pushes Drew into Spike, closing the door and locking it behind them. And of course, they can't get out. Angel and the Scoobies are outside. She tells them they'll come back later for the body, guys. Don't they have people in that town for that? Why is she going back for the body?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an ambulance. I don't know who you call. I don't know if the morgue.
Who are you going to call?
Oh, brother. Oh, my goodness gracious. So anyways, Ford wakes up, demands to get what's coming to him. And then that look by Drusilla, the look by Spike too, but the look by Drusilla there is priceless. It's like, yeah, let's do a fade on Drusilla, which is great. We see next Buffy and Giles hanging out at Ford's grave.
I found it very interesting that he has a headstone and everything already.
Yeah, I guess we're to. Yeah, and no, like, and why would it be there, seeing how his dad never even came and stuff like that?
Yeah,
yeah. Again, we've said this before. You just roll with some things, you know.
Yeah.
Like they had. It's not the worst thing. The worst thing still is
closely. I don't think that's his name on the headstone.
No, it does. Man. This is William Fordham.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, I know it's him when he pops out, because you can tell it looks like him with a vampire. And I was gonna say. Well, at least Spike's a man of his word. You know, he said he turned him into a vampire and stuff like that. Yeah. He did it. All right.
He did it.
Yeah, so Buffy wants Giles to assure her that life's getting easier. Life will get easier. So he does. He lies and tells her it's going to get easier. Then he calls her a liar. Or she calls him a liar. It's like, what? That's what you asked for. What a jerk. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's the end of the episode, guys.
Man.
Tough one. Moral dilemmas here. Yes, I don't believe I would choose the same way Ford chose. I believe no. I would let my friends win. Yes. I wish we would get more Diego, but I know we're going to get Chantrell in an other episode. But next time, we're going to learn more about Ripper, guys. The next episode is the Dark Age. We might see
this. Which reminds me, when you guys get to Dan Candy, I have to be part of that.
Sure, of course. Yeah, I love that episode.
I love that episode. It's so good.
I think we got another season to go before that, though, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah.
Still got a while to go. Yeah. No, okay. Yeah, don't worry about it. But thank you again for joining us, Brennan. Would you like to tell everybody where they can find you on the old internet?
Well, I think that first off, just it's some thoughts on the episode.
Oh, of course.
It's a very interesting moral dilemma episode. Because you got this kid who's dying, basically, and he's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he makes a very bad decision that I think we kind of understand his reasoning.
Well,
I think that a lot of us, it's an interesting, like, if this were real, I suppose it would beg the question, how many people would choose the life of a vampire rather than suffer whatever mental or psychological or physical problem they have?
Mm-hmm.
It certainly did the temptation. This reminds me a lot of Star Trek in being like a classic moral dilemma.
Yep, for sure. It's a moral dilemma.
And this pretty dark episode that I think, and a very sad episode. But I also think one of the most thought-provoking episodes. So I remember first seeing this episode being like, wow, that's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
When the big reveal comes from the Ford, it's like, whoa, that is insane. So it's a great episode. It really is a terrific installment. And it really shows us that if you look at last week's episode and you look at this week's episode, Buffy is a great show because, yeah, it's very funny. But it's also going to be very deep and very emotional and very meaningful. And I think this episode is. So I'm glad I could review it with you guys.
It was a pleasure to have you. Again, I would also just like to think that given the circumstances, I sure hope I don't choose mass murder. But I'm not promising anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No promises at all.
But yeah, you can find me on X at Running Mystical. You can follow me on Instagram and Threads at Running Blue. And on YouTube at Page Turners They Were Not. And wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic. Thanks again for joining us. Adelia, where are we finding you?
You can find me on this channel every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, for another episode of the Rewatchers Council. You can find me on the Highlights channel with Snark every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, for Starting 11 for a few more weeks, because the season's coming to a close very soon.
And swirling down.
Yeah, yeah.
For me.
I don't even want to. Yeah.
You've got a vested interest in those.
I do have a vested interest in the rest of the season. Snark, not so much. That's Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Highlights channel. Links to both channels are in the description of this episode. Please subscribe. We just passed 900 subscribers here on the Entertainment Channel, so that's very exciting. You can follow me on Twitter, I guess, if you want, at Adelia Chambo, but I don't really say much of anything interesting there.
Wow.
I think you do.
Thank you, Brendan.
I don't say anything at all, ever. I think I've said three things on Twitter. I think one was a song lyric that I had in my head, and a couple other things were just whatevers. And then I do like putting likes on things that people say, so there you go. That's at Snark Yeti if you want the world's most boring follow, I guess. What else do we have for me on this network? We got LGRN After Snark Weekends. That's a show I talk with our pal Danny. We just did a birthday celebration.
Yes, that was fun.
That was a good one. I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about this weekend, but we'll have to figure it out because we have to have thumbnails now because of YouTube. So we'll think of something. And then what else we got? We got the Doom show where I play Doom for the first time in 30 years. That'll be coming back soon now that everything is starting to get set up here at the old household. And then some Battlefield, classic Battlefield.
Battlefront.
Battlefield. It's one of those. The Star Wars one. The one with Stormtroopers. So we'll be playing the Stormtrooper game.
Also be Battlefield. So.
Ooh, there you go.
Technical.
I was sort of right, and that's my favorite kind of right, being sort of right. Until then, thanks everybody. It's the Dark Age next time, and bye-bye.
Bye.